explaining together. If you want to get something out of a yontif, you need to get a little bit of a tam in the inyanim. We're holding in middle of Perek Nun Zayin, which deals with the makas, the saras makas. The main point, you know, is that he has a few mahalchim. The first point is people who the chachma is equivalent to some sort of seder. When you do things by whim, when you do things helter-skelter, like unless you're fighting with somebody, so you give him a punch, you kick him, you call him a name, there's no pattern. The person is just angry and upset, and he's venting. That is the hefech of chachma. That is something that shows a lack of chachma. The person is not thinking, he's just acting, reacting, he's hurt, he's upset, and that's that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhagis all come from a place called Chochmas Yisparach. There is no such thing as hanhagis that translate into what we would call, you know, getting upset and hitting back. That type of hanhagis is not shayach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says part of the chiyuv to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the midas is that the makor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas is Chochma, and a person's actions should start with Chachma. So finding Lamashal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. The 10 makas, to learn each maka on its own, is really, really going against the grain of what you're trying to figure out. There was a pattern. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did 10 makas. They seemed to us random, but there was a certain sense of a pattern of progression. And he has 3-4 different mahalchim, and the truth is, they're all emes. Let's give a mashal. A person who's trying to explain to somebody what caused World War I, he can show the military buildup of the different alliances over the years. He can show the economic issues of colonization and so on. He could show the new improvements in technology. Each one will be right, and the emesis, they're all the same. So all of the different mahalchim and the makis, if they're emes, there are many of them, and yet they fit an overall pattern. So last year we saw a few mahalchim, keneged debris, and so on. One more point that's important when we talk about the patterns. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's patterns also tend to repeat themselves. In other words, the same picture in Briyas Olam, and that's why it's keneged breishis, the same picture, the way he took life for Adam Mitzrayim, the processes are very similar. And now he has this mahalach is v'kashe disponin oid on the bottom. Timtza ke'elu esem makis his HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'min ha'kotn u'b'godol kila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went from the least to the most, which is a normal mahalach. You're trying to get somebody to change, so you tighten the screws a little bit and stronger and stronger and stronger. The problem is, it's hard for us to discern which one of those makis hurt more than the other. So he has a certain inyan. Vizeh, ki tamid hamakas rishonos lehoisa maka kol kach magia lenafsho. Ki tchilo haya makosam hako ein magia legami lenafsho. The underlying axis along which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tightening the screws was minachutz el apnim. In other words, the makas were affecting more an outside inyan, to a deeper inyan, to a deeper inyan, to a deeper inyan. Deeper meaning closer to the person's heart. Let's take an example out of another sefer. In Eov suffered a lot of terrible things. It's hard for us to imagine any of his sorrows. But Kadosh Baruch took away, the Satan took away his wealth, but then he took away his kids, and then everything he was, his emunah was shleima and so on. So Kadosh Baruch told the Satan, no, you see that he's proven. So the Sultan said, well, you have not touched him yet. Just try to touch him and we'll see how strong is Amuna. So he hurt him personally, physically, and that's when he started to crumble. So in other words, a person, there are layers of concern. And if you strike an outside layer, even if it's stronger than the inside layer, it is not, a lot of times, it doesn't affect you as much as you strike an inner layer. So knowing yiddias outside unless it hits home, doesn't really get its message. So he says, "Kitchilo hayemakoisam hako ein magil gamil nafsham." First, he would hit something outside. V'tomid hayemoisif b'maka atche b'achroina makoisam b'maksam isegami. Until Makos Bechoris literally hit home dead center. V'kachay mitzrayim tchilo koisam b'dam v'es hamaka lohoisa v'pelasham shradamayim mekoymay. I mean, the dam had nothing to do with them personally. The dam was in the rivers, and they read the newspaper reports that the agriculture is going down because the dam is affecting it, so on and so forth. Kikasha maka pelas yose b'muke umispal mena muke hamakzis yose del. The more the person is affected by it, that is a stronger maka. Vafilim hoisa maka gdoila behezik im ena pelas ba'adam v'litagielov lenechshav kolkach. And even if the maka is very damaging, if it doesn't strike home the person, then it's not so, then it doesn't affect him so much. I want to digress a minute, just a makom hisbeinonus. The whole metzias of what's called the Musa movement and Or Hasidus movement was built around this inyan. They identified a word that is very critical in affecting a person. For instance, if you take the approach that that objective things affect a person, so if you sit a person down and say, you know, if you don't do this and this, you won't have a chelkom haba, or if you do this and this, you will have a chelkom haba, and so on. The person believes you, so why doesn't it affect the person? Because it's mimena vahala. It's not part of his imminent self at that moment. The person doesn't sense it, doesn't feel it. So there is a lack of hispa'alus. Hispa'alus means to be affected by it. If you don't hit the person himself, so it kind of mellows until it gets to the person. And even though objectively I say, wow, that's a terrible, terrible einish, but it doesn't really affect me. So the point of those movements, especially the Muslim movement, was that divrei tochacha are worthless unless they produce hispalus. Unless they produce hispalus, they don't actually affect the person. I once said a ma'aseh from my mother-in-law. She had a big inyan of tzedakah. This is going back 60 years ago, or whatever it was, a long time ago, after the war, that she went to somebody, to a big gvir in Eretz Yisrael, to be poil for some family that was in dire straits. The person listened very sympathetically, but he wasn't very responsive. And then my mother mentioned that before the war, these people lived in a mansion in Warsaw, or wherever it was, that had 24 rooms. And the person was said, really? And he gave a very substantial sum. What's the pshat? Is the person, a person starving, a person doesn't have a roof over his head? Is it more of a rachmanis? That wasn't the point. The point was, this person, as soon as my mother told him, you know, they live on food, he saw himself in the same situation. It's somewhere down deep, it hit him as himself more strong than the other one. So the Torah's hispilus was a much stronger hispilus. So you could say, well, if there's Dam in Mitzrayim, the entire agriculture in Mitzrayim is ruined, the entire country is ruined, and everything goes down with it, so on and so forth, but it's not hitting home yet. And b'meila, the hispilus is less. When it hits home, that's when you find people who, you tell them if you smoke a cigarette, you're going to get sick, and you're going to die. Yeah. The Hashem Lokach, Hashem Nosan, you know, it's... Then you say, you know, This particular person likes to dance at a chasna real well, and he can't anymore. A lot of times, that'll move him more than that. So you say, it's stupid, isn't it? I mean, what would it... The teretz is because one is now, and you know, he sees himself as a big knacker, and he's no more a knacker, so that causes him. What affects a person is not how powerful the argument is, but rather how strongly is he affected. How far deep did you get into the person? So that's what he's saying, that the greater maka is the one. So dam was a very chitzayinistic maka, and so on. Umizet, next paragraph. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu's mahalach was a person. It's like when you want to test a person to see how alive is he, how much of his seichel is working. If you respond to outside stimulus, if the person looks at somebody, that's a great sign of awareness. If the person can hear and respond to sound, that's a secondary. If he responds only to touch, that's a lower dagger. If he responds to putting a needle into him with sharp pain, that's a much... In other words, the more dead something is, the stronger and the closer down do you need a stimulus to get some life out of him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want... HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to try the least possible to move somebody. So he started with trying with an outside thing, and further inside, and further inside, and further inside. It's a kind of test of Mitzrayim. It's the show Mitzrayim, to show the world, and so on. That until he didn't hit home on the very nekuda, there was no response. Umuzer tovin oid masha amru ubemoyfsim zadam. It says moyfsim is the dam. Kikashar manachol amayla kam moyfis bedovish in a poil klal. Hefech oishu bedovishu poil. Let's explain this a little bit here. There's a difference between Ois and Maifis. The Pasuk says Ois is a Maifsim. Rashi says one is on Shemayim and one is on Oretz. Ois is... The Maral explains it before also. There's another... let's explain it, the context that is using it. The word Mofes in Lashon Kodesh tends to mean an absolute proof. The Ramban says that Torah is not learned with moifis choitchim like math and so on. In other words, moifis means an objective, logical, absolute proof. That's a moifis. So a moifis means I will show you indisputable proof. An oath is a sign, but it's not, it's very subjective and not v'chlal objective. Means, wearing a tefillin doesn't prove anything, but it reminds a person of something. So mofes lechura to us, a mofes is stronger than an ois. Ois means, well, it's a hint, it's a remez. But the truth is, in terms of affecting a person, an ois is much more powerful than a mofes. If we sit down with a person, I tell them, listen, let's take a look at it logically. This makes sense, this makes sense, this makes sense. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You should be doing this, with that. I could, and let's say we're very objective. I'm an objective psychologist mapping out strategies. It's not going to affect a person a lot because it's kind of dry outside, and yes, it's 100%, it makes a lot of sense, but that's it. When you give somebody tochacha and it's very heartfelt, and you really, really push when you really mean it, a lot of times what you're saying is not 100% logical. You can dingzach on it, you can slug up, you can say differently, but it hits home because it touches somewhere close to heart. It is the nature, sai mitzad, the person giving tochacha, sai mitzad, the person getting it, that it tends to hit home. So that seems an os and a mofes. So it says, ubemoifsim zadam, because the dam was... Objectively, the dam might have been the greatest mofes, but it was a mofes. Kashemanach al-malakai mofes are in a poil klal. Lekach loy hoyu roi lekori ois, ki ma'mata b'shvil shu poil loy mispoil. Let me add one more knetch, because this is an important knetch. It deals with broader issues of emunah as well. There are two, when we speak about being mechazik emunah, when we speak about dealing with emunah and so on, there are two directions that we go with. One direction is, we're assuming the person is a skeptic. The person really doesn't know, and I have to prove to him, I have to explain to him, prove to him, and so on. So that requires very rational sitting back, very dry, very informative, proof, and so on and so forth. That type of mahalach is called a mofes. But there's another way. You say, you look at a person and say, listen, this person is a maimon ben maimon. He has it in his blood from Avraham Avinu and so on. Teretz is, he's so full of garbage. He's built up either defense mechanisms. It's an easy way out for him. He's got an axe to grind. Somebody for Jaden McCop. Lav Dafka going from the outside in is the right mahalach. All I can do is I can push home on the Nakuda and say, listen, cut the garbage, Raglav Asechom the Bar Sinai, and you know it's Emes, and I know it's Emes, and so on and so forth. That will, if the person has an Nakuda Vemuna, that might, and if it's Emes, mitzad your, that ois goes further than Maifis. So he says, these were not roy to be called an ois. So an ois, it's not only pshat, an ois hits home further. It's the other way around. An ois is an ois because it's there. It's just like when I agree with another person, listen, the sign that I'm ready to go is this. So an ois comes from the fact that there's already been a recognition beforehand. B'shinu apoyalu yikore ois. A shinu that affects people or things called ois. Vein dova sheikore maifes kama adam. Shre adam ein apoyal dova klal. The dam stood there, was not inactive. The other ones were a lot more active. You'll tell me Choshech was also inactive. That's not true. Notice the Choshech was a form of pressure. It's as if you chain them down, you're doing a maisa to push them away. So Pari was not at all shos liboy. Okay, makas svarim makas kinim. Even though the maka was already active, it started getting on the nerves, it started be poil. But it didn't affect them a lot. Those are a lot more the Orev bite and the Dever the plagues and the Shchin affects the person. Shelo Maxo Polimbem Ashireim Shlenefsodim. Vizek Orev Yoreim Shemisoi Say Vechein Dever. They were afraid that they would be affected by the plague, like we see today. You know, we have a plague in the chickens. You were afraid for us. Vechein Ashchin Bevari Reim Shoyu. Aloy Nachshon Nefsodim Ashireim Efsilvad. In those middle ones, they were afraid of being affected by it, but it did not in fact affect them. So the first stage is Bechlal not active. The second stage is active, but doesn't affect them yet. The third stage affects them, but didn't really crush them. I want to explain this also a drop. It says the Lashon of a coil. It says by Sisra, I think it says he used to yell so strongly that even a Chaya Besoder would get frightened. When a person talks, he talks to the Seichel. When a person yells, he threatens. A scream, a yell is a form of pushing your way into the person's heart. That's why Tzaka and Za'aka are from the same Lashon. They're all not... Dibur is an expression of your Seichel. It's objective. It stands by itself. And the other person has to decide to listen to it. A Tzaka is something which pushes your way into the person. The Barad was the Koilos. And that overwhelmed them. Ubnezek Sibib Makas Barad Bepamazen Yishadach HaMagafoysai Elibecha Shenogav Liboy Vayemez Bipnei Kolos Elakim. And Makas Bechoyra is finally hitting. So the Tzach Adash Bachav is letting us, this is another one of the patterns that he's showing us. It's the patterns of reaching from outside in. And that's why Reb Yudah organized into three groups, because the Tzach, B'sholosh Makshonos Lo Ha'olam Yira, they were affected, but they weren't scared. It didn't creep in on them and move inwards. Sholosh Makas Emtzoyis Ha'yireim and Ahefset Shevaleim, Avosholosh Makas Achronis Nachshav V'meisim, Namaka Achronim Yisag Mura. So what he's saying is basically you have the three layers of the makas going from outside in and so on. I want to, I guess, take the nakuda that we pointed out and speak about it a minute or two. In a certain sense, that's zeklal kolaterikula. There is no amount, and that was the frustration that Musa dealt with. That's what Rabbi Yisrael said. You could have people who know it all, understand it all, heard it all, and it does not move them a drop. In a Vrit slang, it's very popular. Lo mezizli klum. That's that's like the way in which you answer somebody, you know, especially like a Rebbe or something, is you know mezizeta absolutely mezizeta. You know, it's all about the does not mezizmi me, and it's true. So if a person doesn't feel anything is meziz, then basically it hasn't touched him. And the biggest problem is the only one that can really be meziz something is the person himself. When you're standing outside, a person bederach klal has some defense mechanisms. I mean, and nobody wants to, first of all, you don't have to show up to the teichacha. So that's one great, so that you avoid all the problems. Then it really stays outside. But even if it shows up, a person doesn't have to listen, and a person can listen, he doesn't have to let it in, and a person can push it back. The problems are never that, you know, the person doesn't understand, we don't understand what the Torah wants from us. That's never really been the issue. The issue is, it's lo mezizli, you know, it doesn't move me, it doesn't bother me, it doesn't move me. I mean, Musa's, that was the point Musa made, that it's all worthless. Rabbi Saul said, all of the Musa's form are worthless unless you put an arrowhead to it. It's like they have these big bombs that they have that to get the bunkers. The problem is not how much dynamite you put in. Today you can put in 100,000 tons of dynamite. If it stays on top of the bunker, it does nothing. It cools the air outside. Doesn't do anything. The chachma is to get it to keep from exploding until you drill down into a place that it will affect. Before the Leila Seder, the mitzvahs are mitzvahs maisis to affect a person. There's the mur, there's the matzah, there's the yayin. On this chelik of Torah, it's amazing. Even Musa, today, Musa started where people would sit in a dark room and talk to themselves and demand of themselves and push themselves and so on. That's what Musa really, really was. You read a Sadaris, you needed a sefer. You took a sefer, you let the sefer talk to you. Then there's you read a Sadaris that you heard shmuzin. You couldn't even bother to sit with a sefer, but you heard shmuzin. Today you just put it on the tape and then let the tape recorder do tshuva. That's the doesn't. But real Musa is moving it homewards. That's the real matara was to strike home. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have just, you know, froze the midstream and pulled Klal out. Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to push through somewhere. And this is one of the things that really Einali Mili. You can say whatever you want. You can point the person's direction. You can argue with a person, but somewhere along the line, he's the only person that can get in furthest inside the person. And without it, all the makas don't move you because they're on the outside. They move you a little bit by the force of the push, but it didn't shake you up. It moved you a drop this way, a drop the other way. The when the person gets in pnima, that's where there's a real disease. So, I mean, this pattern is important in understanding the mahalach of the makas, but it's a lot more important in understanding a mahalach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midsummer Sunday, we'll see the next part.